Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning. And today my guest is Fabio Tavares da Silva, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in New York City. He began his earlier career as an acrobat in his native Brazil after running away with the circus at age 15. After he moved to New York in the early 90s, and at sometime after that, he discovered the Alexander Technique, and in addition to being an Alexander Technique teacher, he is the assistant artistic director of STREB, Extreme Action, which we will probably talk about a little. I don't know exactly how to describe it, except that it's dance and extreme action and looks pretty dangerous when you see it. He's also an adjunct professor at Pace University. And in particular for this podcast, Fabio has been able to maintain a relatively injury-free body for the last 20 years, which is a pretty amazing accomplishment given the kind of work he's doing. And we're going to talk today about how the Alexander Technique in particular has helped him with that. So, after all that, Fabio, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Robert. It's good to be talking to you, finally.
It is. It's good to talk to you as well. Could you begin by giving our listeners a very short definition or description of the Alexander Technique?
Sure. The Alexander Technique, to me, is the closest thing we have to magic powers.
Oh, good.
And of course, not to mention, you know, drugs.
Right.
So it's, you know, but it's, in my opinion, it's the closest thing we have to magic powers.
And by magic powers, do you mean sort of amazing things you can do with your mind to affect your life? That sort of magic?
Or exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, because I would agree with that. It is incredibly powerful method of using the way you think to change how you do things.
Right.
And how you approach life.
And, you know, because I'm such a physical being,
mm-hmm.
and I know we try not to talk much about the body and the mind. You know, we want to address both things as one, you know, equipment. But I can't, you know, it's like it's the amazing things I produce with my mind that affect my body. It's just, it's hard for me not to bring my body into the equation. So I can do pretty amazing things. It's like I have this secret that no one else does.
Mm-hmm.
No one else knows.
Mm-hmm.
That it's kept me, you know, pretty free and powerful and ready to move and jump and fall and do acrobatics. And so in that sense, I regard the Alexander Technique as a magic power.
Mm-hmm. And I would say not just acrobatics, which is impressive enough, but a kind of an extreme version of acrobatics, which the STREB company specializes in. Could you
Correct.
Say a word or two about that for our listeners? There has been a recent public TV program about it, and there was a lengthy article in The New Yorker about it. But could you just say a word or two about what's, let's say, different about STREB than just acrobatics in general?
Sure. Well, somebody once said that STREB is a combination between, like, Cirque du Soleil and Jackass.
Yes, that's
good. And, you know, I think that's a pretty cute definition.
Yeah.
The idea in STREB is you have to learn the art and the science of unusual landings. You know, and whereas in most dance, people always land on their feet. You know, and most sports, you're always sort of landing on your feet as well. In STREB, we learn how to land on different parts of our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's, you know, we take a lot of impact and the body. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we also use a lot of equipment and cables and harnesses, and it's a lot of aerial stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of someone once said it's like high impact modern dance meets extreme sports that meets circus, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it's all, you know, sort of, we don't make it pretty, we don't try to, we don't attempt to make it light and fluffy, you know.
Right, it's definitely not light and fluffy, and it's also actually kind of dangerous, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah, there's definitely a risk element.
One of the pieces is quite aptly called the Wheel of Death, right? Which kind of tells you where they're at that. So it is just as an aside here, getting back to acrobatics in general. I don't know whether you know this, but F.M. Alexander, the developer of the technique, made a point of going to the circus whenever he could. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that was that when he was watching acrobats in action, mm-hmm. he knew that he was going to be seeing pretty good use of people, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Simply because it's a kind of it's a self-selecting profession in that if you're an acrobat with a tight neck or stiff shoulders or whatever, you're not going to be an acrobat very long. Mm-hmm. And it seems to me that the work that you're doing with Streb kind of takes that to an even greater level. Mm-hmm. That, mm-hmm. I would imagine as you look around at your fellow performers, most of them must have pretty good self-use, right? Mm-hmm. That is, they use their bodies efficiently and effectively, the kind of things that Alexander, the Alexander technique is known to help with. So what is it that you have as a result of the Alexander technique that gives you perhaps an edge over even some of the other performers?
Uh-huh. Well, the first word that comes to mind is resiliency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, very clear to me. And I just had this conversation yesterday with a fellow colleague. It's all about the breath. And it has to be all about the breath. We oftentimes forget that if we don't breathe, we're doing ourselves, you know, perhaps the greatest is it disfavor? Is that even a word?
Yeah, or it's dysfunctional not to restrict breathing for sure.
Exactly. And you know, so I think, you know, and then when we studied the Alexander technique, we learned that when, you know, the spine is lengthening, breath is happening naturally. I don't have to worry about breathing, mm-hmm. you know. And when I tighten, you know, my shoulders and neck and I compress my spine, I hold my breath. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this is like, you know, as a little boy who was a competitive gymnast, all I did growing up was I was being trained how to hold my breath.
Oh, really?
You know, uh-huh. Oh, yeah. In gymnastics, you know, it's all about no pain, no gain. It's all about, try harder, repeat that 20 times and I'll repeat another 20. It's really about reinforcement of, you know, of poor habits or bad habits. So when I discovered the Alexander technique, I was blown away by the fact that, you know, you can actually breathe and you can actually help yourself. You can be a lot nicer and more friendly to yourself, and you get a lot better results. And not only that, but then the older I get, the more powerful, I'll use the word powerful just because it's a word that I've been using the last couple of years, more powerful I'll become. Mm-hmm. And so it's a pretty powerful promise, you know, mm-hmm. whereas I see people, you know, sort of resigning to the fact that they're getting older, right? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing I can do about this one body part, or there's nothing I can do about this one situation. I see people like resigning to the fact that they're doomed, you know, mm-hmm. in my field, you know, uh-huh. in my field, a dancer in their 40s. I mean, you know, they're, you know, a dancer in their 40s are, you know, they're way past their retirement point.
Right, right.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not to mention athletes. I mean, mm-hmm. athletes in their 20s, and if they're gymnasts, I mean, they're, you know, they're considered like senior.
Right, yeah.
You know, senior citizens in that world. And I learned about the Alexander Technique as a tool to prolong my career. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away by that. I was like, wow, how come other people don't know about this? Yeah. You know, how come other people don't think that way? And yes, you know, and my work with Streb, I try to share that with my fellow dancers as much as I can. It's like the work can be very abusive to your body. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't designed to be abusive to the body. So
would you say it's designed to really see what your body can do?
Exactly. Exactly.
And it doesn't, and someone looking at a Streb performance will see people crashing, looking like they're crashing into the ground or crashing into each other or objects or whatever in ways that look very dangerous and most people would say look harmful. Mm-hmm. But you're saying the whole philosophy there is to see what the limits of what a person can do are. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, and that's why we use mats. You know, that's why we don't do
sure.
it on a hard floor.
Sure.
That's why when we fall from a, you know, distance greater than our heights, we use pit mats, which are thick mats. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, everything is padded.
Right. Right.
Because early on, I think in the 80s, Elizabeth realized that, you know, it wasn't very sustainable to do this work on a hard floor because, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. people wouldn't stick around.
And that's the lady who, her name is
Elizabeth Streb, yes.
Who is the inspiration behind the work of this company.
Exactly.
Yeah, and you said earlier that the thing that really gives you an edge is that the technique can help you with resilience or along that. And, you know, even in far less extreme forms of dance, a ballet, for example, you know, most ballet performers don't really last a long time.
Nope.
And many are injured at a fairly early stage in their career and have to go into teaching or some other profession. Mm-hmm. I know in Toronto, where I teach regularly, there's a special program just for dancers at the National Ballet there who are injured to get them into other professions like law or even medicine or anything that they can do because they can't dance anymore.
Right. Well, those dancers are taught since a very early age to squeeze their glutes so hard mm-hmm. as if they were holding a quarter in between their butt cheeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what they're taught. So I'm thinking, you know, if I squeeze my butt as hard as I can, how the hell am I going to be able to walk?
Right, because if you squeeze your butt, you're squeezing your hips, and the hip joints aren't going to function very well.
Exactly.
And then I don't breathe. Right. Right.
So, you know, when I teach at Pace and I work with mainly actors, I tell them, you guys, you know, I don't know who came up with that horrible idea. But apparently it's a very popular thing amongst ballet dancers. Like, squeeze your glutes as if you're holding a quarter in between your butt cheeks. Mm-hmm. But then, like, who can walk that way, let alone, like, do all the pliés, the turns, the leaps? And like you said, you brought up the hips. I know at least a handful of former professional ballet dancers who underwent hip replacement surgery.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah.
So it's like, really? And just to go back a little bit to the Streb technique, Elizabeth's basic principle when she used to teach, she no longer teaches. Oh, she would teach every now and then, but mainly we took over all the teachings. She talks about the idea of a perfect line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so she sort of stacks you up to be a perfect line, and then you take that principle, that organizational principle of being a perfect line, and you keep that with you when you're falling, when you're jumping, when you're flying, when you're horizontal, when you're upside down, when you're vertical. And of course, you know, that perfect line idea was taught to me in a way that wasn't very Alexander friendly, let's put it this way,
right.
It was about, you know, you
about short, hold about holding it
I about holding exactly
yeah, right.
And what I did very early on, I said I refused to approach it that way. I said, you know what, let me experiment with something else here.
Mm-hmm.
And I started working with the idea of length, because all he discovered at the end was that, you know, if you achieved your full stature and you kept that full stature in action,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, that yeah. you would function a lot better because you'd be breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So I started playing with it. You know, instead of shortening, why don't I release into length,
mm-hmm.
and width and breadth?
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, it's actually been a brilliant thing for me, because I spend less energy. I hurt myself less.
Mm-hmm.
I'm less stiff at the end of a rehearsal or a performance. Because my thing is, like, I go for long runs every now and then,
mm-hmm.
and I like to feel good and organized at the end of an activity. I don't want to feel compressed or stiff. You know, if I feel compressed or stiff, it's something I'm doing to myself that's not quite working. And it's a very new concept to tell people.
Yeah. So the key difference, just to kind of reiterate what you said, releasing into length and width as opposed to holding a particular position.
Exactly.
And that, there's a world of difference between those.
Exactly.
So someone listening to this who is a dancer or actor or any kind of performer might want to know the answer to this. Do you sacrifice anything artistically, as it were, by going this route of the length and the releasing into length and width as opposed to holding? In other words, I get that it's probably healthier, but how about the artistic impact of your performance?
Well, it's a good question. I don't think I do,
mm-hmm.
and because or else I would get a note, you know, from my director. Say, hey, you know, what are you doing there? You know,
yeah, right.
Be straighter, or, you know, or hit harder, or jump higher, or run faster.
Would it be literally a note?
Oh yeah. I mean, you know, we're giving those notes all the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, especially uh-huh. in Streb, we joke that Elizabeth's notes are like, hit harder. It's
mm-hmm.
harder, faster, sooner, stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Higher,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's always more, 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 more.
So there haven't been complaints about you.
No, not
yeah.
at all, not
uh-huh.
at all.
Uh-huh.
I remember very early on when I joined the company, she said to me, Fabio, there's something that you do when you fall that it looks like you fall slower than other people.
Uh huh.
And I thought to myself, well, you know, it's probably the direction I'm giving as I'm falling, you know, I'm thinking of lengthening,
mm-hmm.
and Trisha Brown. I don't know if you know who Trisha Brown is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But Trisha came to one of the performances. This is like, we're talking 12 years ago, something like that. And there's it's a performance that we're all jumping off of big trampoline onto like four big mats. Mm-hmm. And then she said to me, "I never worried about you. You have beautiful lines." Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that was one of the, you know, most special things I've ever heard from, you know. From
well, and I would think that just biomechanically, if you're putting yourself in a situation where you're going to have a strong impact as you land on the ground, if you are in any way holding yourself or constricting yourself, that impact's going to be, it's going to affect you a lot more in a negative way than if you're releasing out internally.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And that's why they say
you'll be softer.
Drunk people don't get hurt or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Like when they
yeah.
fall. It's the same thing.
Or a cat. A cat can be right. apparently tossed off pretty high right. balcony right. and survive. Yeah, because they don't tighten up
right.
on the way down.
Right. Of course, you want to be connected from head to feet, right?
Right.
You want to be connected from top to bottom. Mm-hmm. You want to be releasing into length. So then there is a certain amount of tension that's going through your whole system, okay? But it's a tension that's not going to prevent you from breathing. It's a tension that doesn't have excessive compression,
mm-hmm.
you know? And this I learned in school, and I learned in years of client technique and zero balancing. It's an energy model. For you to connect top to bottom, you don't bring those two ends together. For you to connect top from top to bottom, you actually pull them away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So this idea of length, that's how I think. I sort of send my feet gently away from my crown, and my crown gently away from my feet, and I go into this energy body that allows me to stay safe. And when you land horizontally, you don't want to land on, you know, you want to land as flush as you can. You want to land with the whole body as much as you can.
Right. right.
So you don't get a whiplash, you right. know, so you don't get like a, whatever, you know, like a, like basically a whiplash in your neck or your back or something, or you don't bend your knees and hit your joints. It's you want to, you know, you want to land flush. So I can be flush by compressing, and I can be flush by lengthening. And what I'm realizing in the last few years is that it's the length is a lot more efficient.
Yeah, absolutely. We're coming kind of to the end of our time, and I do want to ask you one other question, though, if that's okay.
Of course.
Which we've talked pretty much so far about how the technique can be useful in the kind of work you do. But I know that you're practicing Alexander Technique teacher in New York, and I assume you have clients who have no connection at all with the world of performance. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, absolutely.
What would you say to someone who's hung in here so far to this interview out of interest, but is in fact maybe an office worker or a mother of mm-hmm. children, something else? How would you connect what you've said about the performance help that the technique can provide to someone in that situation?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, you know, what they do, if they work in an office or they're a mother, what they do is very extreme as well.
Yeah, know? In a different way.
In a different way,
yeah.
yes.
Yeah.
And you know, mothers, man, you know, I see my sister. It's like, it is so much work. And it's, you know, and sitting in an office, it's so extreme also. So...
Because sitting itself as an activity is one of the most challenging for people to do well. And
exactly.
if you're doing it for 8 hours a day, not well, the consequences can be pretty serious.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, I know people, you know, I know people who are in my world who don't have the type of injuries of people who are in an office
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
situation. So I think that at the end of the day, you just really want to learn about how to breathe better and how to allow your spine to lengthen and your back to widen. And whether you're sitting or whether you're jumping off a 30-foot tall tower, it's the principles are the same, and the mechanics of the body are the same. So I actually, in fact, prefer to work with non-dancers, if you will.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I think, it's just the nature of what I'm attracted to. I'm interested in injury and helping people, sort of minimize their pain. But I think everything we do this day and age could be extreme. And we want to know how to do that well.
Yeah, and you might, when you say that, it occurs to me that there's a lot of discussion these days about how overloaded many people are in terms of the number of things they have to do during a day. Mm-hmm. So that is, people are often living pretty extreme multitasking type lives.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. something like the Alexander technique, which gives a person an ability to control how they function mm-hmm. in that situation, is going to make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you don't have anything else you desperately want to add, this might be a good time to bring our interview to a close. My guest today has been Fabio Tavares. I hope I pronounced that right. Fabio Tavares da Silva, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in New York City. So if anything that we've talked about intrigues you and you're in the New York area, I'll put a link to his website by the interview. And if you're anywhere else in the world, I'll put a link to a website that will enable you to learn more about the Alexander Technique and find a teacher wherever you're located. And I'll also put, I assume the Streb has a website?
Yep.
I'll put a link to that as well. And do you happen to know if there are videos on that website?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, you can see what we're talking about. If you, the listener, are not familiar with Streb, it's an experience just seeing it. It's pretty amazing. So, Fabio, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Robert. Thanks for having me.